I want to tell you right off the top of my head, I've made some notes this morning, but well, I don't know if you'd call those notes. Those are just little reminders for me, because as I begin to read, I realized that what I was reading, there was no way in the world I could remember all of these things. So I jotted down some things. And if I have a text this morning or a thought, some of the things that won't be in heaven, some of the things that won't be in heaven. Now, we talk a lot about, again, the crowns and the stars and everything, but heaven is going to be somewhat different, I think, than what maybe we've got in mind. And as I was reading, I read a number of things that weren't going to be there. I read one, and then I read another, and pretty soon I'm thinking, well, wait a minute. I just read this isn't going to be there, that isn't going to be there, that isn't going to be there. And so I thought, you know what? I want to share with you this morning some of the things that are not going to be in heaven. And the first one that I thought was, there's not going to be any night there. No night. Now, before I get very far along, please understand, this is not an all-inclusive list, and you will be able to go home, and I hope you will go home and pick up your Bible, and you will read and say, ha, here's one he didn't mention, you know. Maybe it'll get you to read a little bit, you know. That's really what I'm hoping for. So it's not an all-inclusive list, but these are just some of them that I saw as I was reading. And I didn't read the entire Bible, so I'm sure there's some others in there. There's not going to be any night there. No night. Now think about that. In the very first day that God created, He made night. Divided the darkness from the light, or the light from the darkness. That was in the very first day. But there isn't going to be any night there. I've wondered about that. I every once in a while, and I guess I just as well admit to you, and it probably some of you already know this anyway, there's not a day goes by that what I don't think about surely. And a lot of times of the morning, my thought is, I hope that you had a good night. And then I realized she doesn't have any nights. She's in heaven, and there is no night there. There is no darkness there. There's not going to be any sun there, and there isn't going to be any moon. They're not going to be there. No sun, no moon. There's no need of them there. In the fourth day, God placed the sun in the creative processes in the book of Genesis, and in the moon. But we aren't going to need them there. There's not going to be any sea. I got to thinking about that, and I thought, you know, somewhere I read of how much of the land that we have, of the earth, is covered by water. And so I went back and I checked, and it said 71% of the earth is water covered. 71% of it is covered by water. 96.5% of that water is in the oceans. And the Bible says there's not going to be any sea there anymore. There ain't going to be any of that. Now, there is a stream of water that's going to be there. So before someone says, ha, I got him, I got him. I didn't say there isn't going to be any water. I said there's no, and I didn't say this, the Bible says this, there's not going to be any sea there anymore. Of that 96.5% of water that's in the oceans, there's only 2.5% of our water that covers the earth that is fresh water, that is, quote, drinkable water, and only 1% of it is easily accessible for drinking. Several years ago, I spent some time in conferences where that water was the main subject. And I thought, you know, this is kind of ridiculous. But when you really think about it, it's a pretty precious commodity. But there isn't going to be any sea there. There aren't going to be any oceans there. And all of these now are found, most of them all are found in the 22nd and the 21st chapters. 21st and 22nd, I'll get it right here now, of Revelation. So I'll save you a little time that you don't have to go through all the way from Genesis to Revelation to find out how many of these things are not going to be in heaven. But they're not going to be here. This is the new heaven and the new earth that I'm speaking of now this morning. This is the new heaven and the new earth. Because there is going to be a doing away with this earth. God, one of these days, is going to look down. The first thing that probably I should have mentioned that there isn't going to be in heaven, there's not going to be any sin there. No sin. That's probably the most rejoiceful thing for us to be thinking about this morning, is there isn't going to be any sin. All of my life, I've dealt with that. All of my life, I've struggled with that. All of that, my life, that has been probably the major problem in my life, is sin. And it still is. And it will continue to be as long as I'm alive. But there will be no sin there. No sin in heaven. No night. No sun or moon. No seas. No lies. No lies. People lie all the time. Some of you were sitting there this morning when Joyce said, "How many of you wanted to stay at home?" And you wouldn't even put up your hand. No, she didn't ask you to put your hands up. Now, I kiddingly got up, but I dare say there must have been somebody here. I mean, Riker, he was ready to come. I noticed he shook his head yes, and I believe him. I don't believe he was lying about it. Now, he may not have come to hear me. I doubt that that was the case, but he was here this morning. But the very first thing that happened to man after God had created him and placed him in the garden was the serpent came to him and told him a lie. And he believed it. There aren't going to be any lies in heaven. No lies. No sin. How thankful I am for that this morning. There's not going to be any curse there. You see, after that, the serpent had lied to man, and man had listened to the serpent, and sin had come into the world. And the sin of unbelief is still the damnable sin today. Now, it is difficult for us to understand that, and it is more difficult for those of us who are Christians to preach that to people, that the damnable sin and the sin that sends people to hell is the sin of unbelief. If I were to go out here today and start asking people, what's the sin that sends people to hell? Oh, immediately, something, well, murder, murder will do it. Something, so all these other sins, that they'll do it. They do not. That's not what sends people to hell. It's the sin of unbelief. See, God, there isn't going to be any law anymore either, because there doesn't have to be a law. But God gave law to man in the very beginning. Well, I thought it was a Mosaic law. Well, Mosaic law came along later. But the very, very first law was that you may eat of every tree in the garden saving one, and the day that you eat thereof, you will surely die. That's law. That doesn't say what you shall not do, but it tells you what will happen if you do it. And the reason that death was pronounced upon the man was not because he ate the apple. I remember Jim Pulley told me one time, he said, you know, you hear preachers get up and preach that it's the Adam's apple. And he says, you know, that what it is, that little right there. He said, when people tell a lie, they try to swallow that Adam's apple. You know, they take a big swallow and they try to swallow that Adam's apple. But he said it wasn't an apple. Well, let me tell you this morning. When man did not believe what God said, he pronounced the death sentence upon all of us. Every single one of us. And because he did not believe what God said, and God fulfills his promises, is the same reason that people go to hell today. They do not believe in the only begotten Son of the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't believe that He is the Savior of the world. They won't let Him come into their heart. They reject Him. They do not believe in Him. All these other sins, that's why it's difficult for us to understand, as God's children, to understand why that we just have to be very careful when we're telling people what they need to do to be saved. Because we Baptists are notorious for preaching and teaching works. Well, you've got to do right away. As soon as you say you gotta, you've implied works. You can't work, you can't do enough works to deserve salvation. Not a single one of you. I don't care how good you are. I don't care how many works you've done. I don't care how many stars you've got. You don't get the stars until after, as you said earlier, Sherry, until after you're saved. Then you start adding the stars to the crown. The crown has to be given to you by God Himself. The stars will be rewards for the work that you've done, and you won't get those until after it's all over down here. Our rewards are going to follow after us. Yeah. I think it's good enough just to be able to feel His presence down here as I'm living. And if there wasn't any more to this thing called salvation and just what I get out of it as I'm down here, it'd have been worth every bit of it. Yeah. I'm just thankful that God loved me enough and loved you enough that He was willing not only to send that Son. And as has been mentioned, this is a week of Thanksgiving. My goodness, we're getting ready now to celebrate His birth. I hope that's what we're getting ready to celebrate. That He came into the world, lived among the children, and then died for our sin. There's going to be no more sin in heaven. No more lies. No more curse. After that man had disbelieved what God said, and God placed a curse upon him. And we've lived under that curse ever since. And we will live that way until we finish our journey down here, until there is a new heaven and a new earth. But there'll be no curse there. There's not going to be any temple there. There isn't any need for one. The Lord God Himself will be present with us. He is the light. That's the reason we don't need any moon and we don't need any sun. It's because God the Father is the light. Remember, John talked about the light whenever that he wrote his gospel. Let me tell you this morning, heaven is going to be far superior to anything that we've ever even imagined. And I try to imagine, I try to think of what heaven must be going to be like. But then I think about some of these things that aren't going to be there, and it's impossible for me to imagine that they won't be there. The next one is even more so. He said there'll be no tears there. No tears. Now I see people with tears of sorrow. I see people from time to time with tears of joy. And sometimes it's a mixture. We have developed in our society, and we started this many, many years ago. Maybe we didn't start it, but we put the emphasis up on it, and I could just about give you the event that caused us to come to this point to where that we've got that concept prevalent among us today, that it's not manly to cry. It's not manly to cry. There are some times that, as men, we need to be able to cry. You know, that's a release valve many times. It's also sometimes that we need to be able to cry purely out of joy. Now, we've always thought it's okay for women to cry, and women, they just boo-hoo, boo-hoo, boo-hoo. And I'm not sure that it's all that bad, and I'm not sure that they do it that easily. And some of you women are tougher than we men are, I'll guarantee you that. And some of you say, well, you're never going to see me cry. Well, I hope someday that you do cry. I don't necessarily have to see you, but there is going to come a time when there will be no tears. And it's when I think of tears, I usually think of sorrow. I think of things that happen in our lives that bring that to that point. There aren't going to be any tears. No pain. No pain. Can you imagine a time and a place where there is no pain? Nah. All of our lives, we have seen people experience pain. Most of us in our lives have experienced some pain. Some of us have been more blessed than others. Some of you live constantly, continually with pain. We're trying to do everything under the sun. I think we just made a terrible mistake recently whenever this great state of ours said it's time for us to move to medical marijuana. Now, it's all over with now, so, you know, the vote's in, and I have to accept it, but I don't approve of it. I just want you to know that, and I'll say that right here from the pulpit. We got along without it long before that it became a necessity, and I will guarantee you it will not stop at where they presented it to be. Now, some of you may have been all for it, and that's okay. That's your privilege, and I wouldn't deny you that privilege for anything in the world, but let me tell you something. We're still going to have pain. We're still going to have pain. As long as we're here in this earth, there's going to be pain. But there's going to be no pain in heaven. I know a little about pain. There's going to be no sorrow. I just mentioned Ron losing his mom, Karen losing her sister. Every single one of you here have lost someone. And many of you within the last year have lost someone very close to you and dear to you. Let me just say this to you. Even though they are not where you can see them, they're still with you. And they will be. I can assure you that, just as sure as I'm standing here this morning, that you will feel their presence. There will be times whenever they will be in your thoughts. There will be times whenever that you're going to know they're not nearly as far away as some people would like to think. They're just out of our sight. They're just out of our sight. But they're still here. They're still with us. I can promise you that. But let me tell you what. We still sorrow. We still are sad. But there isn't going to be any sorrow in heaven because there's not going to be any more parting. There's not going to be any more separation. The only separation that's going to take place is before that new heaven and that new earth come into existence and God separates the saved from the unsaved. I don't believe that even you and I are going to see that take place. Not going to be there. But I can assure you this. There's not going to be any sorrow in heaven. How many times have said it, and I've tried to kind of change my thinking along that line. If they can look down from heaven and see us, I don't think they can. If there is, God has some kind of a filtering system to filter out all of the bad. Why in the world would they want to look down here and see what is going on with us? Man, they're enjoying the wonderfulness of heaven. No more pain, no more sorrow, no more tears, and then no more death. No death in heaven. Nah, you're not going to just be there for a little while. You're going to be there forever. Forever and forever and ever. Now, I do have to admit that sometimes I wonder about that. I wonder how in the world, if we can't get along down here for just a few years, how we're going to get along when we get up there. But because there isn't going to be any sin, because there isn't going to be any need for life because of the great presence of God, and because of His mercy to us, Word, and because all of that far exceeds anything that we can imagine, it'll be all right. And He's got it all worked out. And it'll be forever and forever and forever. Yeah. No death. No sorrow. No pain. No tears. No sea. No sun. No moon. I this past week noticed a few times the moon, how big and beautiful it was. A couple of times I thought, well, somebody's turned a light on out here outside of the house. And then I realized, well, that's God's light out there. And we look forward to seeing the sun. I saw the sun come up this morning back in this part over north of us. It was a little dark. And now then it's darkened up out here too. So the sun's not out there right now. You know, we take these things for granted. And there are purposes for each one of them. No sin. No curse. No more of this earning our living by the sweat of our brow and the wife being spared the childbearing. Oh, it goes on and on and on. But there are some things that are not going to be in heaven that are going to be okay. Now, there are a lot of things that are going to be there that will be okay. It'll all be okay because it'll be heaven. So I would hope this morning that each one of you, as a child of God, will say, Lord, thank you that you teach us some of the things you do in your word.